Capria Sankirtan to .o continuation. Not seriously. And this is for those devotees out there who are of the conviction, as I am, that the main foremost mission that Srila Prabhupada carried and also gave to us is the Sankirtan mission, that of helping others, forgetful souls in this misguided civilization, back home to Godhead again. If you're one of us, big or small, doesn't matter. But feeling there, deep within, that you belong to this mission and you want to spend the remainder of your days left in this body and world for serving that mission the best you can, then you are welcome to this discussion. And as usual, although I'm not broadcasting live here, streaming live, you can take part by taking advantage of the splendid comment section here below. So, where to start? Well, we already started. But really, I won't even bring up the discussion why we should bother about saving the fallen conditioned souls, as we say, or said. Because, of course, if you are one of those that this is meant for, that's a given. But then how? Well, that's really an interesting discussion. First, some think Sankirtan means going out on the street, singing, playing and dancing. Because that's how Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates did it. You know, kirtan together. I guess that would be the purest version. But then we have the other level, that in fact Lord Chaitanya and even Krishna, when speaking the Gita, also didn't tell us to do, that is to spread the knowledge. The Bhagavat, Lady, and anyway, of self-realization and bhakti. To every town and village, just as the chanting. And that's why we sat there in vans, roaming the countryside, tough job, but purifying, I say. But then some of us may have thought, or maybe most of us did, that, you know, back then, that look, I sold a book, I passed out a book, my job is done, mission accomplished, back to the temple, report the scores, and that's what it's all about. Of course, we trusted that these books will find their way to where they are supposed to go, because they are Krishna, the Bhagavad Gita, the Bhagavatam, and of course, yes, sure. Maybe, because our service seems to be included in this, right? That they didn't print themselves and distribute themselves. So then, what's the purpose? The goal, the objective here. Well, again, some of us thought that it's to make devotees. Someone reads the book, comes to the temple, gets preached to and joins, and that's how the world is going to be changed. And that's where it gets interesting, and maybe not so many of us thought beyond that. Then what? some of us may have had the idea that, well, this way gradually we will somehow take over the world. More and more people will come and they will join. And once we get important people, then, you know, the world is going to change. Now, how is the world going to change? Like this? And then we show now visuals here with a bunch of devotees there. A few and a lot of different people around there. Could be from all kinds of different nationalities and religions, whatever, and we see that they all smile. And they all throw off their, you know, shave off their hair and put on dhoti and kurta and sari. Well, like this, some of us thought, maybe some even thought like this, and then we see some devotee there with the Gita in one hand and a gun in the other hand, and he holds the gun towards the person, and the person just takes the Gita and smiles and bows submissively, the way someone under force does. So, I would say, when talking about Sankirtan 2.0, this is where it starts. Where are we now? Where are we going? This is one of the most important principles for any enterprise, to have a goal there in sight, because then you can develop. Objectives and strategies for how to get there. Now, regarding making everyone in the whole world join ISKCON and become well Hindus. No, Vaishnavas, but, well, they are part of Hinduism, aren't they? And then we look at the clothes and the India and all of that, and the other people or the country standing there. We can have a little earth globe they stand on looking, scratching their heads. Are we all going, do we all have not to be Indian? Let's look at what Prabhupada himself said. And it's so simple that you may have heard it many times. And maybe hardly even noticing it, as I did. But he said, "I didn't come here." So we take the actual quote. Convert people to Hinduism or to another religion. I came here to make everyone happy. Now, let's stay there. Hold that thought for a while. Someone may think that this is one of those preaching statements designed to be inspirational. In order to recruit members. But let's suppose that Prabhupada said that because that's exactly what he meant. Isn't that a good idea? Well, he kind of said it many times, different wordings. That you may be Christian and Muslim, whatever, Jew, Hindu, but we are simply here to help everyone becoming a better Christian, Hindu, Jew, Muslim, whatever. Because what it's all about is that we are all spirit souls children of God. And Prabhupada says that if you really sum it up, why he took that ship over, struggling so hard for the most part of his life to bring Krishna consciousness to the West, it was for that reason, to make them happy. Now, that thing happiness is interesting. Oh, it's raining. And of course, we preachers, we used it a lot, preaching to the fallen, suffering residents of Kali Yuga. You are suffering, but you don't know it. No, no, I'm happy. Oh, yeah, sure. No, you're not, because it's a false happiness, you just don't know it, and all that. But we are happy. look at us. And then the person looks at you, shoots back, looks you in the eye and says, "Really? Are you happy?" "Of course I am." This is Kivalananda Kanda. Movement. Now I incidentally I'm just now watching a television theater, an old one, Swedish television. Well, in the old days, the famous Swedish author Karin Boye, one of those dystopic future scenarios. It's called Kallocain, the totalitarian society and all of that 1984 stuff. And it's about a doctor who invents a drug that makes people tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So to test that drug, they bring in respectable citizens who are very happy in their perfect society, give them the shot, and they start to cry. Remembering the old days before that society, and they were just ordinary people. With ordinary human flaws. But there with each other, for each other, and even love each other as ordinary flawed humans and all of that. So but still happiness. But the ironic thing is that it seemed, and maybe it still seems so, I don't know, you tell me, that it was common among devotees, I even heard it in lectures, to speak dismissive about happiness. Of course, the usual, there's no happiness in this material world. But then, what about me, devotee? Do I have the right, me, not my guru or someone else from the books, but me, do I have the right to be happy? Just plain happy? Or is my life, as an advanced devotee, just about sacrificing myself? Being content with a life of no happiness, but just hard work? Well, of course, we know the philosophy, and we have also experienced it, and that hard work is bhakti, it's done devotion to Krishna together with other devotees, then it can be very happy. But really, if we are going to, by our own example, as Krishna says, we should teach people to be happy, or show how to be happy, don't we, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we were happy? Now, do we have the right to be that? Because that's what Prabhupada came, right? So, was that happiness he wanted to give for us too? Of course, the answer is simple, that the happiness he spoke about was not the one that comes through the senses, but through Krishna consciousness. Now, let's look at that next episode, which will then be about this idea of, well, scrutinizing a little bit ideas here, and the one about the senses, how to mix up. The senses with being the same as material senses.